It's more about, I suppose, sharing with everybody the importance of these types of events. Again, I come from a very different aspect, I suppose, of the learnings that I wanted to take away. So for me, the genius moments, I think, come down to, well, for me, as a leader of industry, I'm not in industry, so to speak, but I provide a lot of things to industry. And a lot of the takeaways I got were to find ways that we can genuinely assist our industry with getting better at what we do.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe.
Well, hello, it's Steve Carroll here from Digital Live. And some of you will know me as the mad Englishman that takes real estate professionals over to Thailand to raise money for a kids charity. Today, I'm honoured to be sitting in the hot chair of Samantha McLean at the Elite Agent podcast studio here in the Gold Coast. Samantha McLean is on a well-deserved holiday, and today my intention for this podcast is to try and, in about 40 minutes, sum up all the amazing things that we learned at Elite Retreat up in Hayman Island. And that's a pretty tough gig because we had two full days with an amazing lineup of speakers. We've got to get that into 40 minutes. So I'm absolutely delighted that we have Michelle Tynan, the Chief Executive Officer of the Real Estate Institute of Tasmania, with me, because we're going to tackle this together today. Michelle, hello to you in Tasmania, Michelle.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And I think looking at your LinkedIn profile, you've been in the hot chair at the Real Estate Institute of Tasmania for about 12 months. Prior to that, you were the CEO of the Institute over in the ACT. How's 12 months of Tasmania treating you?
Yeah, it's actually nearly 18 months, or just over 18 months since I got to the island. And yeah, Tasmania is an absolutely wonderful place to be, not only to work, but to live. So the move for me has been exceptional. And yeah, really looking forward to what we can do over the next couple of years. I'm down here for 5 years if my contract lasts. But the first 18 months has certainly been a roller coaster of highs and lows, because there's, with every new job comes challenges. But I think now we're in such a place that we're just so looking forward to what we can do. Yeah.
Excellent. And hey, how good was Hayman Island? How good was Elite Retreat?
I'll be really honest. It's probably the best conference I've ever been to. I went to Elite last year, but I thought it went to a whole new level this year.
Yeah. Samantha and Mark have got this incredible ability to keep raising the bar. So goodness knows what's going to happen in 2025. I guess we have to wait for that. But Michelle, let's get straight into it. And I've got a couple of warm-up questions to just help the audience get to know who Michelle Tynan is. And I was stalking you on all your social media channels. And what's the story behind your Facebook profile photos, Michelle?
Oh, look, I'd have to probably be one of the most boring people on Facebook, I think. In the words of my daughter, you know, Mum, nobody uses Facebook anymore, but for me, it's my little Bible. I'm all about feel-good posts and things like that. I usually post about my experiences, whether they be work, not often I do work, but mainly personal. And I'm all about places, food, experience. And of course, I have two really cute dogs and I always get lots of likes whenever I post them. So that's probably the story behind my Facebook.
Everybody loves dogs and cats on social media. And hey, here's an interesting question. I've got to confess, ChatGPT gave me this question to ask you. If there was a playlist on Spotify that was all about you, Michelle, that just told the audience what sort of person, what sort of leader, what sort of mum you are, Spotify playlist, what would be the first track? What would be the opening track?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Bon Jovi tragic, have been for over 40 years, and they released a song in 2009 called We Weren't Born to Follow.
We Weren't Born to Follow.
Yeah, and that is probably what encapsulates me and how I choose to live my life, but also how I choose to lead and do my professional work as well.
Yeah, excellent. Now, we're going to get into the guts of Elite Retreat and talk about some of the real highlights, which is going to be a tough challenge because we had 2 days of immense content. But I want to ask you just one other personal question. What's a quirky or unconventional habit you have that has contributed to your success? Because checking you out on LinkedIn, you're an incredibly successful business leader. Quirky or unconventional habit, Michelle, that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's a pretty old-fashioned one, and it just involves a piece of paper, a pen, and boxes. Every time I have to make a decision that's really significant or has outcomes that other people depend on, I do boxes for pros and cons on what that strategy might look like, but also how it's going to affect the people that I'm making that decision for. So it really is just a case of boxes of pros and cons and how that applies to every part of that decision. So it's probably a bit old school. As I said, it's paper and a pen, but I've been doing that for years and years and years, and it's just something that really does help me look at a picture very differently and delve a bit more into why I'm thinking what I'm thinking and just go that little bit deeper and see if I'm looking at a whole picture or if I need to get more insight into what I'm actually trying to get the outcome to be.
Great. I really like that. And my nanny Wade used to have that as well. So good on you. Good on nanny Wade. So Michelle, this year's Elite Retreat was all about genius moves, moves that people have made inside real estate, outside of real estate, that have led to a happy life, have led to a good career, building a good business. I need to ask you, when you reflect on your career, what was a genius move that you reflect on and you're very proud that you made?
Yeah, I hit the midlife crisis, I suppose, in my late 40s, and I felt that I had way more to offer in terms of my skill set. So I made a leap of faith and I moved to Canberra and joined a far greater pool in the corporate world. And I got my job with the Real Estate Institute of the ACT, and I have no real estate experience at all, but it was a real challenge because at that time, the Institute needed some different direction, if you like, and I felt I had the skill set to help that. And I found a job that I absolutely love. And you have to be passionate about what you do. As I get up every day, and people who know me, they know how passionate I am about my industry and my members, and I love to be able to help them. And I suppose provide that leadership that gives them certainty about what they're doing within their businesses and how we can help them be better at what they do.
Excellent. I'm sure the members that you've got in Tasmania are very, very lucky, or as one of our speakers said, not lucky, fortunate to have you, which is a really good segue into those 2 days. So Michelle, you're on a plane going back to Hobart or to wherever you live in Tasmania. What was going through your mind around the key takeouts, the best learnings, those aha moments that made you think, wow, that was worth a trip up to Hayman Island?
Oh, look, honestly, there were so many, Steve. And as I said, the caliber of the speakers this year were just so on point. And I think for leadership especially, I look at leadership at lots of different levels. But in terms of leadership and in our sales-focused or property management-focused businesses, you really need that proper direction and belief in what you're doing. And I think for me, again, coming from a different perspective, being a membership services provider and an industry body, for me, it was about taking away those things and being able to implement a lot of those strategies around self-belief, self-improvement, but to take that out to a wider audience, being your staff and things like that. There was just so many takeaways. I've got probably 5 or 6 pages of notes that through the next 12 months we'll work through to deliver some of those messages to our members through training.
Excellent. So, Michelle, I'm going to really put you on the spot. Let's just deep dive into those pages of notes. So can you just talk about 2 or 3 of those learnings that you're going to be rolling out to your members over the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think the first one, we had Paul McGee, the sumo guy, and his approach to annual leave being our friend and not our enemy and time off and that type of thing. Because I think in our industry, it's just become so overpowering to feel that you've got to be there 24/7 for client care and staff care and everything else that goes with it. So that was a huge one for me, and being able to, I suppose, help educate our industry leaders here in Tasmania, the importance of that balance for them and being able to take that time off to be a better leader at the end of it. So that was really important to me.
Yeah, excellent. And whilst we're talking about Paul, who had the most incredible British accent, I think from Manchester. What were the other big takeouts that you took from Paul and his incredible session on day two?
Yeah, I think too, the problem resolution, we talked about the people who had the binoculars looking over the back fence and the issues that caused, and how sometimes we tend to not look for a simple solution. So that was a big one for me. We tend to always try and make things a little bit harder than what they are. So getting back to that basic of just actually communicating at a simple level, yeah, rather than things getting blown right out of proportion, because we all know in our industry, we suffer from that, I suppose, that consumer perspective that real estate agents probably don't do things the right way or whatever, which I fight so hard against because it's simply not true. But as I said, to go back to those simple basics of communication, it's really good in the world of, as I said, we have all these new technologies that assist us. But at the end of the day, that conversation that you can have is obviously, or sometimes can be, the best solution to a problem. So that was one of my other takeaways from Paul. And as I said, just his ability to actually shut up and move on was probably a big takeaway for me. But yeah, it just all seemed to gravitate to that improving yourself as a leader is a never-ending story. And I think that's probably what I got most out of Paul's.
Yeah, excellent. I'll share with you one of the key takeouts I took from Paul, and that was the E plus R equals O. So for the audience and for the people that weren't there, E is the event. So that plus R, which is the response that you choose to make, equals the outcome.
Yeah.
So I've got to tell you this story. So on Friday night, my daughter was getting very, very excited about a wedding she was going to on Saturday. She'd been looking forward to this wedding for months and months and months. And on Friday night, she went to watch the Broncos and she got a parking ticket, $150, Michelle. And for a student, that is a real kick in the teeth. And I used a bit of the Paul McGee thinking with my daughter, Annie. And I said, right, well, look, you can't change the event. You parked illegally. You got a parking ticket. And it's all very well blaming the police and the council and everyone else. But the response that you make is going to equal whether or not you have an amazing wedding with a really, really good friend, or you have a really miserable time. So I really encouraged her to think about the E plus R equals O, which is the outcome. But I also, because my daughter can be quite an emotional person, I did give her a little bit of that hippo time. And if you remember, Michelle, yeah, Paul McGee talked about the need to have that hippo time. So to wallow in your sorrows for half an hour or an hour when something happens that's not great. But at some point, as you just alluded to, Michelle, you've got to shut up and you've got to move on.
Yeah.
So that's a really good segue, because we should probably move on from Paul McGee. What were the other, you mentioned pages of notes that you took that you're going to be rolling out to your members over in Tasmania?
Yeah, I think too, Matt was really, really, for me, affirmational. And I think if you were there as a leader, a lot of what he said for me really resonated with the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis. And as I said to my colleague that was at the conference with me, he was a guy that's absolutely the top gun in his field on two occasions, has seen international combat, all of those types of things, and then had to come back and start a whole new life, I suppose, and create a whole new business, and had its own challenges and some pretty serious challenges. But that belief in yourself and that differential between lucky and fortunate, which is something I've always, I suppose, responded to in a big way, because you are fortunate. You're never lucky. You're always fortunate. And I think to be able to understand that even people who have these incredible achievements can then relate exactly back to us and what we have to do every day in our working lives to such a large consumer base, I found that really inspiring. And I just felt there was so much there for everybody who was in that room that could relate to small parts of his story. And how, again, as a leader, your learning never ends. And I think that was probably a really good part of the genius that came through there.
From Matt. And for the benefit of the audience and for those that weren't at Elite Retreat, Matt Hall was an officer and a pilot with the Australian Air Force and fought overseas. He is, I think, still currently the Red Bull champion, which means he drives planes or pilots planes at incredible speed with a G-force that is unimaginable. And what a great guy he was. And I was listening to the podcast that Matt did with Samantha, and I encourage everybody listening to this, and I'm sure we'll put the link into the show notes. But, you know, he talked about how when you do a job where if you make an error, it could cost you your life. It could cost other people their life. He talked on the podcast about role playing what happens when things go wrong, Michelle. So if things do go wrong, you've already role played and imagined what the consequence and the decisions that you've got to make. And he told the audience, 200 leaders up on Hayman Island, how he clipped his wing into the sea. And in that split second, when life or death was literally, you know, it could have gone either way, because he'd imagined his response on dealing with an incident like that, he was able to make a sharp decision, which obviously enabled him to land his plane safely. And it got me thinking, Michelle, you know, if you're a real estate agent and you're going into a big listing that you really want to win, do you actually imagine what your response will be if this question is asked? Or do you imagine what your response will be is if you don't win that listing? And if you're a business leader, imagine what your response will be is if your key agent comes in and says that he's moving to another brand. And Matt really encouraged all of the real estate leaders to do that because it makes you a better person and it really sharpens your decision making. He was a great speaker, Michelle.
Oh, no, as I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And as I said, and you touched briefly there on those split decisions or split second decisions and how that you need to, as I said, hone your skills so much. And that's where I keep coming back to. And I hope that we can deliver to our members down here the importance of continuing to develop yourself. There's so many challenges out there facing us as industry leaders and as industry participants. And the only way we can meet those challenges is to continue to improve ourselves, no matter how good we think we are. And another important point that he brought out was having the right people around you and having the right team around you. And that all is part of what we do as leaders and having that right group to help us make those right decisions. So, yeah, I just think there was so much there for everybody that was there from that session.
I'm glad you reminded me of that, Michelle, because he talked about picking your team and he said his best mate is not part of his team when it comes to his day job. And a lot of people would be surprised at that. Your best mate and is not part of your team when it comes to being a Red Bull champion. But the point he made was his mate wasn't going to give him the advice to or the help or the support that would take him to the next level. And so he parked his mate and he surrounded himself with people that would help him go to the next level, go to the next level. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And he obviously had an incredible relationship with his mum and dad, but they weren't part of his team because he said, you know, his mum and dad just wanted him to retire from this dangerous game of flying, but that's not what he wanted to do. So his mum and dad weren't in his team. And I'm really pleased that you reminded us of that, Michelle.
Yeah. And as I said, it is all about your team. And I came down from a team of 1.5 where I was in Canberra to a team of 6 people down here in Tasmania. So I had lots of learnings to do. And again, it was able to relate what he was saying to what I've experienced and how I can now go forward with better ways of doing things. And as I said, you can always improve. And I think for everybody that was at the conference this year, we were just shown so many different insights into that. Even as I said, the psychologist session that we had around human thought process, it was just quite amazing. I've never heard
that was Emma.
Yeah.
That was Emily. So Emily was one of my favorites, Michelle. Can you just deep dive a little bit about what she spoke about and what you took from that?
Yeah, I just really liked the whole conversation around human psyche and looking deeper into what you're actually seeing when you're talking with people and when you're listening to their issues. As a leader, sometimes I think you can just get far too big picture and you're not looking at the smaller things that are there in front of you. So yeah, I could have listened to Emily speak all day just around how we need to be more intuitive about what we're listening to and actually hear it rather than just assuming we understand what the situation is when we're facing it. Yeah, I could have listened to her all day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you talked about Mel Thomas, who obviously did the icebreaker after lunch, and she's doing a lot of work to give confidence back to females that have done it tough. They've probably come out of a relationship that wasn't a pleasant relationship. As a female, Michelle, what did you take from that session? And are we going in the right direction?
Oh, look, I hope so. I think that we're predominantly a much bigger female workforce in real estate, and that's something we do concentrate a little bit on down here in Tasmania, and especially around, I think, the mental health side of things. For us, property management's a huge issue in terms of mental health, and to have those different focuses on power and well-being, and I think power is an important word, is really important for industry going forward. And that needs to become, I think, a centric part of our training, and both in sales, property management, administration, especially. A lot of feedback I get from industry is around that they sometimes feel quite powerless. And that short session that we had just sort of made you realize how simplified it could be, or how easy it could be to get the power back in your space. And I think that was really, really enlightening for a lot of people there.
Yeah, great. And just for the benefit of the audience, can you describe what she got three or four people to do with their fist?
Yeah, the fist and the breaking of the board. I guess that's something you see on our TV shows and you think it's just a little bit of a have. But to walk them through that in a matter of, what, 20 seconds, I think each person took, and the concentration that they were able to harness in that 20 seconds to actually break those boards, it just was amazing. And as it did give you that feeling, though, Matt, that feeling of power, that this is something achievable. And when you translate that into everything else that you do in your job, or be it in your personal life, it was really, really powerful. Like, yeah, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, excellent. And talking about that sort of icebreaker after lunch, on day one, we had Josh Horner, who obviously has worked with Elton John. He's danced on Broadway. He's danced on stage in some of the biggest theatres in London. I love Josh. Can you just explain what Josh did, and I suppose the takeaways from that particular session, because it was more than just getting us back into the swing of things after a nice lunch.
Yeah, it was. And as I said, to create a dance in 5 minutes, I thought was pretty special, given probably the limited ability of some of us who are not that coordinated, but still a lot of fun. But the thing that was the takeaway from it was Josh's ability to resonate with his brand, like the little gnome, and how he was able to just use that as part of his presentation. But at the end of the day, that brand awareness was a huge takeaway for a lot of people, that something so simple, so unique, was part of who he was, and how you really have to embrace your own personality to sell yourself. And I think that was a huge takeaway for me. I mean, I'm not a dancer, so I'll have to put that out there, but to be able to tap into your own uniqueness and then make that your actual brand, I thought was, yeah, really, really good. Just as I said, it was an icebreaker, but it was really, really well worth the half an hour that we spent on that.
Fantastic. I love those words. Tap into your uniqueness, yeah, to promote your brand. Because I know from my time working at realestate.com.au for 10 years, sellers find it very, very difficult to choose an agent because, in their words, every agent just looks the same. And what Josh has done, as you've just beautifully explained, is he's created a piece of uniqueness that means that in his market, he stands out and he gets noticed. So let's just dive back into your notes, if we might, Michelle. We've talked about Paul McGee. We've talked about Matt Hall. We've talked about Emily. We've talked about Mel. We've talked about Josh. We're not going to be able to talk about everybody in this podcast, but what were the other couple of real big moments that just gave you that wow thought?
I think Sam's session on the AI, I suppose for me, that's a huge part of what industry is now going to have to face. That's our future and how AI is in our businesses. And I think the way that Sam's able to bring the simplicity of trying to not understand it all, but to be able to make your way through it so you find AI that, again, fits you, that was really important. We did a lot of AI stuff last year, but I sort of felt that this year, the way she actually walked us through what the power of the AI is and how we harness that was probably, I suppose, for a lot of people there, really empowering as well. We use that word a lot, but genius comes from empowering what you have. And to have that insight into how we actually now navigate the changes in AI from 12 months ago to now, the AI is just, it's incredible. And it's something that, as an industry, we have to stop being, I think, not so much afraid of, but a sort of resistant of, and start to take on those people that have the expertise who can help us, and then turn that into a business opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. We're fortunate in Australia to have Samantha, who has done so many weeks, I don't say hours, I talk about weeks of learning, to package that up and to share it with us here in Australia. Because hey, look, I've just spent the last 4 or 5 months working in the UK, and I don't think they have a Samantha McLean in the UK. We're very, very fortunate. And if you're a real estate leader or an agent and you're listening to this podcast and you're still scratching your head and you haven't got started, you really are running the risk of getting left behind, because this is a significant change in the whole ecosystem of real estate. So, Michelle, we've probably got about 10 minutes. And I do want to ask you a couple of personal questions just to finish off with. But just for the next 2 or 3 minutes, any other big moments of magic or genius sharing that you want to give us from Elite Retreat?
I guess for me, it's more about, I suppose, sharing with everybody the importance of these types of events. Again, I come from a very different aspect, I suppose, of the learnings that I wanted to take away. So for me, the genius moments, I think, come down to, well, for me, as a leader of industry, I'm not in industry, so to speak, but I provide a lot of things to industry. And a lot of the takeaways I got were to find ways that we can genuinely assist our industry with getting better at what we do. And to try and put that into a couple of genius moments for me, I guess, is some really powerful things were like, what story do we actually need to tell? What story do we want to tell? And making that a priority of your business. And then the other thing was to look back, but only with perception, so that you're not relying on what you're looking back at. So you can always look forward to something new and something that's going to improve what you do. So there were a couple of the genius quotes, I suppose, that I took away. And to be able to look forward and try and, I suppose, find ways to make that future a really good place for both our businesses, but also all our consumers that we're actually dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, excellent. I agree. I really enjoyed Dominic Thurbon's articulation of, if you're doing well, that is actually can actually be a dangerous place to come from, because if you're doing okay, if you're doing well, your appetite to change is greatly reduced. And, you know, he was really articulating to the audience that you're all successful people. That's why you're here in Hayman Island. But just part that success and ask yourself, what does the next 2 years look like? What does the next 3 years look like? And I thought that was a real and I really liked Scott Bateman's talk of the bird poo on that building. Can you tell that story, Michelle? The bird poo, the George Washington building or statue, I think.
Yeah, and as I said, it was a good way to start the day, because I certainly didn't get the solution to the problem. You know, like, they had all this bird poo. How are they going to stop it? And how is it best to treat it, because it was actually affecting the structure of the building? And I was thinking, oh, you know, like, put a big net over it. Do you coat it with some sort of varnish so it all just slides off and it doesn't affect it? But then when they talked about the granular pieces to the actual solution of bringing in the scientists and everything else, and again, you've got to look at things in a very different way to get an outcome that's going to be good for everybody. And at the end of the day, it was all about a lighting issue, which attracted the birds, which attracted the bugs, which attracted all sorts of things, which resulted in the bird poo. So it was just, for me, that out of the box thinking to get a solution to a problem that you probably think, oh, it's really not that big, but if it keeps going, it's going to be enormous. So yeah, I thought that was an amazing way to start the actual conference, because it had your mind in another place straight away. So your mind kept going to a different level every time a different speaker came on to actually, I suppose, get the most out of what you were hearing.
Absolutely. And what Scott really encouraged us to do was ask the five whys. And if anybody is interested, there was a great article about Scott on the brief that Elite Agent sends out. And I'm sure the link to that will be in the show notes. But Scott encouraged us to ask, you know, why, five whys to get to an answer that might help you with a genius move. And in the case of the bird poo, asking the five whys, where they got to was, well, actually, if we switch off the lights an hour later, we will actually have less bugs, less spiders, less birds pooing over the building. Problem solved. It was a great way that Scott told that. And I know I shared this to the audience at Elite Retreat. One of my genius moments after 4 years at News Corp, and I'm in an RM whether or not to go back to the UK where I had a job offer, or go to realestate.com.au where I had a job offer. I consulted Mark McLeod from Ray White, and Mark gave me some genius advice, which really, really shaped my future. And I'm really grateful for that. Session with Gavin Rubenstein was enlightening, to say the least. Any thoughts or comments from the Gav Macca duet?
Yeah, I think for me it was more about the connection that they actually had and that willingness to share information, I suppose, and become collaborators, even though they're not necessarily on the same team, but the benefit of collaboration for them and their success. And I think that was a really good takeaway from that conversation.
Yeah, great. And Gav told the great story of where he lost the listing. This is a great story. Gavin lost the listing, but one of the things he took note from the seller who went with another agent was she had a real love for a part of Italy. I think she was born. And a few years later, Gavin was in Italy and actually drove through this region and stopped the car, bought a postcard, sent her this lady and said, look, I understand why you love this part of Italy so much. That led to a relationship between Gavin and this lady in Double Bay that led to Gavin selling two properties for her over 5 years. And what I took from that was the importance of listening, Michelle, the importance of using a CRM system, and the importance of those magic moments. Play the long game. And before we finish this podcast, it's great that you've been able to dial in today. I just want to talk about numbers because Fiona Blaney did a really good session on the importance of numbers and data. And she did an incredible job making a presentation about numbers really, really interesting, which not many people can do. And having worked with top real estate agents and leaders in three different countries, one of the things I do note is the real great leaders are really good at numbers and using data to their advantage. And Fiona Blaney gave us some tips on doing that. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, I'm a numbers lover. Everybody who knows me, I love my numbers. Yeah, and you're right. The way she was able to capture the interest of the people in the room around numbers. And I think for every day, when we're running our businesses every day, we certainly don't pay enough attention to the data in our numbers. And Fiona's explanation of small things around your property management leading to sales, actually diving into those numbers to see where your business has strengths and weaknesses. I think everybody walked away from that with a whole new appreciation for how much those numbers can add value to their business, which sounds a bit silly, I suppose, when we talk about numbers. But I know myself, I was really impressed with the simpleness of the dissection that she gave us around the numbers and how looking at different aspects of your business and how they affect other parts of your business was really simplified. And I think for us here at the Institute, that's something we really want to be able to now emphasize to our members, because it was something that I hadn't really thought of as a learning, but it really is. And the way she simplified that on the day, I think was incredible. And I think there'd probably be 200 people there that now have a whole new different perspective on how much time they need to commit to that side of their business.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Michelle, just want to finish off with two or three really fast questions. So you've already said that you've got pages and pages from Elite Retreat that you're going to drip feed into the business to your members down in Tasmania. If you could collaborate with any figure, alive or dead, outside of the real estate to help you on that journey, who would it be? And what would you work on together to help you on the journey of the next 12 months down at the Real Estate Institute of Tasmania?
For me, I guess since I've come back, I've just been thinking about people like the Matt Halls and the Sumo guy, just to try and find people within our local space to bring that localness to it. And I think as an industry provider and leading that pathway for our members, I see that's really important to give people, I suppose, an opportunity to see very different businesses and how they work, but how we can actually take things away from them to improve our industry.
Let me put the question another way, Michelle. If you could have lunch with anybody this weekend, alive or dead, who would it be? First face or name that comes to your mind?
Alive, it would be Scott Roth, who is the coach of the Jack Jumpers here in Tasmania.
Yeah, excellent.
For his culture. And Oh, actually, no, he's not dead, but for an older person, it would be John Howard.
Yeah, excellent. Good stuff. And if you could rewrite the rule book of the real estate industry as we know it today, what's one rule you would change or eliminate entirely?
The one thing I would change, and I suppose it's not a rule, but in every jurisdiction in Australia, we have continual professional development points for renewal of license. And what I'd really like to see change in that space, because I'm passionate about training, professionalism and our consumer expectation of our industry, instead of CPD being a box that you tick, for me, if we could change the mindset of industry that CPD becomes part of their everyday process, let's not just get points because we have to get them. Let's go out and get learnings because they make us better every day. And I would really like to see industry as a national body raise that standard. And as I said, but it becomes something people love rather than something people feel they have to do to renew their license every year.
I agree with that. Well put. Yeah. And if you think about the best sports people in the world, even the fastest runner in the world, he and she still have a coach to help them maintain that speed.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't see having a coach as a tick in the box exercise. They would embrace having a coach to make them better. My final question, been great having you here today. What's a common piece of advice in the real estate industry that someone, and we don't need to mention a name, but what's a common piece of advice in the real estate industry that you just completely disagree with? You hear someone or an organization spout about it online or at conferences, but you totally disagree with it.
Yeah, I guess for me, in what I hear and in the spaces that I'm in, it's this, I suppose, averseness to collaboration. Don't tell anybody what we're doing. It's really good and we're really good at it. Don't tell anyone else. And for me, that's my pet hate. I believe as an industry, we need to embrace collaboration amongst everybody. Like businesses that are doing really well, you'll find a very good collaborators. Well, that's what I see in my role anyway. And they continue to do well, even though they share all these secrets with their opposition or their, you know, competitors as they see it. But I think we need to bust that myth that just because you're doing it well, you can't tell anyone. If you're sharing what you're doing well, that raises the level of service, expectation, whatever you want to call it, within our industry. And it raises the bar of how we perform as an industry. And that just has to be good for industry. In my mind, I can't see how it's not. So for me, that would be probably my one hate or pet hate within industry that we need as an industry and to survive as an industry, become really good at collaborating and being able to share the wins that we have and helping other people achieve that same standard.
Yeah, excellent, Michelle. You know, one of the things Paul McGee said at Elite Retreat was for many years, his measure of success was wrong. He measured his success on the amount of money that he was making. And it took him, I think he said he got to about 56, 57 years of age. And he had this ha-ha moment that the measure of success is not just about how much money you're making. It's about the joy that you're taking out of life, your friends you have, the relationship with you have with your family. And for me, I think one of the things we get wrong so badly in some areas of real estate is we just measure success differently, wrongly, and we should put more emphasis on living a healthy, great life. Michelle, final question. Will you be at Elite Retreat 2025? And have you got any insights on where it might be? Because I don't know. I facilitated, I emceed it again this year, but it's a secret. Any clues that you can share?
I don't have any, but I will definitely be there. And as I said, I would really encourage people who are listening that perhaps are in the same space as me, where you're an industry provider as opposed to an industry insider, come along and actually get the insights for how people want to improve themselves and how we can better supply our industry as well by understanding the challenges and the different nuances that we face as an industry. We come with that different perspective when we come to events like these. And I think, I'm not sure where it'll be. It wouldn't worry me if it was in a chook shed out at back of Birdsville. As long as we can get the insights that we've had this year, I'm not sure how they take it to another level. I don't envy Sam and Mark that at all. But as I said, if you're really serious about what you want your business to be and how you want it to get there. For me, Elite is certainly a one step in that pathway that you can certainly count on to give you those insights.
Thank you for your time, Michelle. Great speaking to you. Great seeing you at poolside at Hayman Island. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.